Hello everyone and welcome to this week's edition of the Spanish Football Podcast. I'm Phil Kitromelides. I'm joined this week by Alex Kirkland. Hello, Al.
Hello, Kitro.
Sydney's off on possibly the most ill-judged holiday in the history of Spanish football. He decided to take his summer holidays starting on match day two of this season.
Yeah, it's not a triumph of organisation, this, from TSFP, is it?
No.
But we're from one third of TSFP.
Yeah. We're going to roll with it. Sid's off, as you said, on his holidays, but he is going to join us. He has sent us a noisy and enthusiastic message from the beach, so we're going to be with him here in just a moment. We are obviously podding now consistently every week throughout the season. We're over at patreon.com/TSFP and we're back to our regular season schedule as well. So we're going to have a Q&A pod out answering your questions on Tuesday, a bonus pod discussing the latest transfer news and looking ahead to match day three. That'll be out on Thursday. Plus coming soon, it's the return of TSFP Presents and you get access to the TSFP Discord as well. So come join us. It's around about €4 a month. It's pretty decent value.
It's all happening over at Patreon. Sid may be on holiday, but we very much are not.
No. I feel I'm just the opposite of being on holiday, whatever that is. I'm fully ensconced in that. Match day two then. This is what happened. Friday we had two games. The mighty Rayo Vallecano beating Espanyol by 2-0. Then Sevilla needing a late equaliser, a late goalkeeping blunder to salvage a point at home to Valladolid. Finished 1-1 at the Estadio Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan. Not been a good start for Sevilla. Saturday saw Osasuna make it 2 wins from 2. They beat Cadiz 2-0 at El Sadar. Betis also 6 points from 6 points after a 2-1 win at Mallorca. El Panda, Borja Iglesias with both of the goals from the penalty spot. And Celta Vigo were beaten 4-1 at home by Real Madrid, the champions, another one of the sides who have won their opening two games. Then on Sunday, Athletic Club beating Valencia by 1-0. Alex Berenguer with the only goal of the game. Villarreal winning 2-0 at the Civitas Metropolitano, overcoming a rather insipid Atletico Madrid side. We also saw on Sunday Barcelona beating Real Sociedad by 4-1 at the Reale Arena. Two games on Monday night, Elche against Almeria, Girona against Getafe. So me and Al are going to discuss some of those talking points. But first, let's head over to the southwest corner of Spain, somewhere in the province of Cadiz. Sydney is on the beach. And he has this to say while he's on his holidays.
Good morning. So here I am on the beach watching a load of surfers, finally able to switch off on the football, which I definitely didn't watch this weekend, honest, apart from Atletico Madrid against Villarreal and Real Sociedad against Barcelona and most of the Real Madrid game and Oviedo against Leganés. But apart from that, I didn't watch anything at all, although I kind of made a point of being aware of what was happening in the Sevilla game where we discussed what was happening with their strikers and their inability to score goals. There's so many things to pick up on and I kind of feel like I'm about to leave one of those long rambling messages that picks up on kind of everything. First of all, right, before we start, Rayo Vallecano, Plesa. There's only one question, isn't there? And that is why? None of this makes sense. It doesn't even make sense from his point of view. What is he doing there? Unless, of course, there is something hidden that we don't know. And that is the conclusion to which I can't help but keeping on returning. As for the weekend, Ansu Fati, I suppose, is the really outstanding of the players, although Pedri was brilliant for Barcelona and Robert Lewandowski was really, really good as well. But Ansu, as we've said so many times, he has something very special. It's not just the talent. It's also, I suppose, the warmth that everyone sort of feels towards him. The fact that he's still very young, despite the fact that he's been around for so long, everything he's been through with the knee problems and so on. And that concern is still there about how long he will be able to play regularly for, about whether or not the knee problems will recur, about whether he'll be able to overcome that. And I suppose from that point of view, it's very good news that Barcelona can continue to play other players and not necessarily have to rely on him. But he's different, isn't he, to the others? And there's something very, very opportune about him. His ability to do a huge amount in not very much time, to be more decisive than other players, even if he's not a guy that necessarily dominates a game, is just extraordinary. And of course, what that tells you, really, more than anything else, is an intelligence and an understanding of the game that other players there, well, not that other players there, just other players don't have. And he's genuinely pretty special, I think. It was fantastic watching him last night. What else? After that, funny enough, were really quite good. Actually, I also thought Celta were pretty good as well. Two teams that lose 4-1 to Spain's Big Two who'd actually played pretty well for reasonably big chunks of the game. Of course, you've got a couple of great saves from first leg, and you've got the sense that Celta had that they were on top, and then suddenly get caught. And we were saying this on our WhatsApp group, the kind of the sense of that being a classic Real Madrid goal. You're in your own area, you're under pressure, boom, away they go. Tchouaméni leading the charge and Madrid scoring. And that was, you know, that was really, really striking. And I think we'll see that a lot this season. And we saw it maybe a little bit last year, didn't we? That Real Madrid didn't always need to dominate games to have that ability to resolve them and to win them. And then on to Atletico Madrid. And actually, no, not on to Atletico Madrid. On to Villarreal, who we kept saying we think they should be the fourth team in Spain, or possibly even higher. And they've got a lot there. Let's see what happens in terms of departures, because Jeremy Pino, who scored, might be one of those going. But the capacity they have to kind of control a game, to use that Spanish phrase, to sleep a game, to make a game sleep, and to kind of take the pace out of it, and to make it difficult for the other team to play the way that they want through control rather than through defensiveness as such, was pretty impressive, I thought. All in all, quite an enjoyable weekend. Right, back to the surf.
I appreciate the fact that Sid walked right down to the shore, literally where the waves were crashing around his ankles, to bring us that little update. It was very atmospheric.
Very atmospheric. Nice little detail, little detail there from Sydney. But thank you, Sid. We'll speak to him later on in the week, I'm sure. He can send us another highly noisy, atmospheric, wavy voice note. So let's talk about some of the things that Sid mentioned, or what. Well, expand upon some of the things that he mentioned. By the way, what he mentioned about Rayo Vallecano, the absolute shambles that is going on there for people to try and get a new season ticket, essentially. You can't buy a season ticket online. You can't buy any tickets online at Rayo Vallecano, the only professional football team in Spain where you cannot buy a ticket online. So people have had to queue for a very, very, very long time. There are only two taquillas, ticket offices open there, so two people to try and sell thousands of season tickets. It's been absolutely shambolic. The club has ever have made absolutely no effort to try and help their fans at all, and in fact they've sort of been leaking information to the press suggesting that actually the reason why we don't have online ticket sales is because a lot of people, older people, don't have access to the internet, so it wouldn't be fair on them.
Yeah, so what the elderly love to do is to spend like 48 hours queuing day and night in the street for a season ticket instead. That's a much better option, clearly.
It's shambolic, but it's...
Well, almost, again, we come back to a point we've discussed before where it's shambolic to the point of seeming almost intentional and almost designed as a provocation, because you just can't believe that an ineptitude alone would lead to this kind of thing continually happening year after year.
I would have think there's a basic standard in the league, isn't it, for stadiums. There should be a basic standard. I think this should be a prerequisite. You should be able to buy tickets online. I mean, that should be basic standard, but it isn't.
Yeah, it's not too much to ask.
I was thinking of going to get a season ticket. But
you were, weren't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
Let's see how those queues, see if they go down a bit over the next day or two.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the football then. And Sydney mentioned Ansu Fati and his... Mm. I mean, I didn't think that the day that Robert Lewandowski scores his first two goals for Barcelona in a big win for them, that he wouldn't be the main talking point. But he wasn't in this game. It was kind of all about Ansu and what he did off the bench.
You can't help it, can you? It feels like Ansu Fati, and this is something he's done consistently ever since he broke into the Barcelona team. He makes himself, as they say in Spanish, the protagonist. Mm. Doesn't it? You can't help but talk about Ansu Fati because he just keeps making an impact. I was trying to think of another player, certainly another player of anything like his age, who every single time he plays, he either scores or he assists or he does both or he makes a difference or he changes the game. It's truly remarkable. And it makes me think, actually, that we've talked about the competition for places on the wing for Barca this season now with Dembele and Rafinha and Ferran Torres and Ansu as well. I actually think that this role, now who's to say if this is his role all season or not, but this role of coming off the bench with 25 minutes to go and having an impact on games could actually be pretty much ideal for him. And it will naturally mean, of course, that the physical strain on his body isn't what it would be if he was starting every one of these games at this stage of his career and with the injury record that he already sadly has.
Also the emotional strain as well. The fact that they have Lewandowski and Dembele and Rafinha now to take a little bit of the burden, it felt like all the hopes of Barcelona were being pinned on Ansu Fati last season, and it was far too much for a teenager. Now he can go a little bit under the radar and come off the bench and have these fantastic cameos and not necessarily have the whole club's hopes and dreams pinned on his shoulders.
Oh, and talking about Lewandowski, the way that those two combined, you know, in both directions, yes. In fact, each assisting the... I couldn't work out which was better. I mean, the Lewandowski assist for Ansu. The Ansu goal, every bit of it was special, but the touch from Lewandowski in particular, that was promising. If I was a Barca fan, I'd be pretty excited about what those two can do over the next year or two.
And yet, at moments during the game, Barcelona weren't entirely convincing. They played some sort of strange back three, which didn't completely convince at all. Ter Stegen had to make some really quite good saves to keep La Real at bay. Which...
And that's good to see, by the way, because, of course, last season we saw that Ter Stegen didn't quite seem to be the goalkeeper that he had been in the past, and the evidence certainly from this game was that he's getting that back there. But no, it still feels like, I mean, Xavi's Barca are still a work in progress, aren't they? There are things that you like the look of, and there are other aspects of the team that are a bit more concerning. I guess that's maybe natural still at this stage in the team's evolution. You know, he still hasn't been there for a year. And of course, the huge changeover in personnel as well, as has been widely discussed this summer. These things take a little bit of time, and it's not quite there yet. You could see that in this game, and at times La Real really caused them problems. But like I say, I think it's still a work in progress.
It does feel like that, but they're going in the right direction, at least. Well, getting their first win of the season after the goalless draw against Rayo Vallecano on match day one. A 4-1 win at the Real Arena, where last season Real Sociedad conceded 9 goals in La Liga, and Barcelona managed to score 4 on Sunday evening. Perhaps a little bit fortunate, Ousmane Dembélé did appear to elbow a La Real player in the first half. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, we don't...
Well, it's the kind of incident which we've seen in other games. Yeah. We've seen a player penalised and here he wasn't.
Yeah, but anyway, there we go. Let's move on and talk about Real Madrid, who also won 4-1 in the north of Spain, with a performance that ended up being really quite impressive. Yeah. But at times, Celta were very much in this game as well. The headlines were no Casemiro, no problem, because we know that Casemiro has left Real Madrid, has left a big gaping hole in that midfield. Or has he? Because Tchouaméni, Camavinga and Modric all played pretty well on Saturday evening, particularly Luka Modric.
Yeah, I mean, look, of course they will miss Casemiro, and of course it's much too soon to draw any conclusions about what they're going to look like in the absence of Casemiro from just one game. But at least in this game, yes, it did go pretty well. Modric was the man. I mean, the goal was special. I have to say, I don't know about you, I liked the pass for the Vinicius goal even more than the goal. I thought that was such a goal that really kind of summed up, I think, this Real Madrid team, which is a team that's come to be defined by the speed and the ruthlessness of its counter-attacks. And that goal, with Tchouaméni starting it off in the Madrid box, the ball going to Modric, him playing that pass through for Vinicius to finish off. I don't know, it just felt to me kind of emblematic of this Real Madrid team, which doesn't always control games at that point. They hadn't been controlling this game against Celta, and yet they are so clinical and they've got players of such quality in key positions that they can hurt you with the one or two or three chances that they get. And so I felt like that goal, the Vinicius goal in particular, really summed it up. But no, in terms of the midfield, as you say, Tchouaméni, I thought, got better as the game went on. Looked more comfortable, looked more confident. You could see that by the end, by the way that he was kind of charging upfield as he did for the fourth goal that Valverde scored, that he looked like, you know, he was feeling good at that stage in the game. And there were one or two really encouraging moments from him. But I would just say that you want to kind of get in ahead of, at some point, there will be games where they miss Casemiro, and at some point there will be games where Tchouaméni doesn't perform, because that's what happens with almost every single young player. You know, players at that age are defined maybe by having ups and downs and not being very consistent. And so you just want, I guess, you don't want to get carried away with a win like this or a performance like this, and you don't want to get carried away later on when you can see that they really are missing Casemiro as well, because those games will come for sure.
Hmm. Okay. Quick word about Eden Hazard, who came on. We thought that this season he was going to have a bit of, as they say in Spanish, protagonism in the team. He certainly looks fitter. He actually looked quite quick. At one point in the game, I saw someone running quite quickly with the ball. I said, "Who is that? That's Hazard." I was not used to him moving at such speed. And yet, he missed a penalty. And it didn't really matter because they were 4-1 up. So ultimately, it didn't matter. But it felt like actually it did a little bit. That penalty could have been quite important for him.
Well, and clearly the fact that he was allowed to take the penalty was supposed to be symbolic, wasn't it? Because, of course, Benzema was still there on the pitch. Benzema had already scored one. I don't know if it's because he'd already taken and scored a penalty and didn't want to take another one, but it feels like Benzema handing it over to Hazard was supposed to symbolise something. And in the end, it ended up symbolising the fact that his Madrid career still hasn't taken off. Ancelotti seems pretty convinced that he can play a role and he can be this... I mean, we say be this sort of Benzema alternative, but of course here Benzema was still on the pitch. And I'm not sure about the idea of Hazard, you know, being able to come on and influence games. I think more often than not, that will be alongside Benzema rather than, you know, replacing him. Mm-hmm. But it would have been good for his confidence. And I mean, it was a decent save. It wasn't a terrible penalty. It wasn't a great one either. But it's unfortunate for him because it would have done him a lot of good, I think.
On our TSFP WhatsApp group, you sent us a message saying you're a little bit confused about Celta as a team.
Yes, I can't work them out. Yeah. But then none of us can really work them out because I feel like there are bits of the Celta team that are fantastic. Of course, Lord Barrington of Aspas chiefly among them. But they've got other good players too. You look at someone like Javi Galán, who's an excellent fullback. They've got a few quality players in this team. But then I feel like you look at other areas of the team and I just think they've got players in there who really aren't very convincing at all. The transfer strategy this summer... Again, quite a few players left, quite a few players came in. I hadn't even realised that Nolito had left. I messaged you during the game saying, "Where's Nolito?"
Yeah.
He's gone.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's joined another club yet either.
I don't think so.
You were quite impressed, certainly, with the looks of Paciencia up front, weren't you?
With the looks, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, not necessarily the look of, although he did score on match day one. But
there's a crucial difference there.
Yeah. I don't think,
but very handsome.
Yeah, I don't think he's the most prolific of strikers, actually, looking at his stats.
Bit of a journeyman.
But he's a ravishing hunk. I mean, you know, he's got those sizzling eyes and long hair and, you know, grizzled looks. Anyway, I'm getting carried away.
Anyway, we don't know about Celta. We're not entirely sure. Sid was saying that he thinks they might end up struggling this season. I'm not sure it's quite that bad. I mean, as always, the burden rests on the shoulders of Barry, because you look around the rest of that squad and I'm not sure where, apart from Aspas, where the goals are coming from, really. Mm.
All right, let's move on and talk about Atleti losing 2-0 to Villarreal. It's the first time that Unai Emery has beaten Diego Simeone at the 18th time of asking, I think, or 17th or 18th time.
I think it was 17. I think it was,
17, yeah. He came very close, of course, in this fixture last season before Issa Mandi scored one of the most comical own goals of all time in injury time for it to end 2-2. But Villarreal, good value for this victory, a really solid away performance, both goals taken really well, Jeremy Pino and Gerard Moreno. But I was really disappointed with Atletico Madrid, man. Like, genuinely disappointed. This kind of performance, it was so flat, particularly in the first half. They didn't even seem to press. It was the kind of performance, it was a little bit like they were the away team and they were sitting back and they were trying to sort of maybe catch them on the counter-attack and just inviting Villarreal onto them. The fans didn't seem particularly happy or particularly convinced by it either.
They certainly weren't happy at the end when some of them were picking a fight with Mario Hermoso, or the other way around, I'm not sure.
Well, quite literally, there are some videos on social media of Mario Hermoso almost jumping into the crowd to have a fight with the Frente Atletico. But yes.
I mean, you couldn't necessarily blame him, but
well, indeed.
No, but going back to the game, I think it's true what you say. I think that Villarreal were quite smart, actually, in their game plan and how they set up, because you're right that at times Atletico were kind of waiting for Villarreal to come on to them. But then at that point, Villarreal were kind of saying, well, no, hang on, we're the away team. Mm. And we're going to kind of bide our time. And there were moments, weren't there? Simeone talked about this after the game, when the ball was back with Geronimo Rulli and Atletico weren't pressing him. And so he was just sort of standing there and saying, well, you know, this is fine. We're away from home. We're happy enough. If you come away with a draw, that's fine. And Atletico didn't really quite seem to get their heads around what they were supposed to do. And you had a kind of standoff where at times absolutely nothing was happening. But that felt like it was a decision from Villarreal rather than Atleti. It reminded me at times of the Champions League Villarreal we saw last year, you know, when they were really impressed going away to teams like Juventus and getting results and being really quite impressively organised and solid, but then also having the quality to hurt teams when the opportunity arises as well. So yeah, this was a really good result for them. We've talked them up as possible top four contenders this season, and this is the kind of result they'll need to be getting to do that.
Jordan Morulli did actually make what might be one of the saves of the season on match
I saw Iker Casillas was tweeting about it, and I think Courtois mentioned it on Twitter as well, so both of them were impressed enough.
Well, that is high praise indeed. We don't have goal line technology in La Liga.
We don't.
We've got VAR.
I mean, it's fine.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Yeah. We've got VAR. And VAR seemed to show that the ball hadn't probably crossed the line. So
probably.
Yeah, it's good enough for us. So there we go. Villarreal beating a disappointing Atletico Madrid 2-0. Speaking of disappointing, Sevilla, 1 point from two games. We said they'd struggle, and so has proved the case.
Well, it's nice when, you know, there are rare occasions when our preseason predictions look like they might actually work out.
It's only two
games. Doesn't happen very often, and sure, there's plenty of time for us to be proved wrong. But right now, it's not looking good. It still looks like it. We've talked, how many times do you think we've talked over the last couple of years about what they really need is a really prolific goal-scoring centre forward.
I mean,
ever since
like
Ben Yedder left,
every
probably.
Week
when did Ben Yedder leave?
That's two, it's. Three you, years. Yeah,
you're going back a few years now, and they still don't have that. I don't think, and that is always going to be an issue for them. Isco came off the bench and got his first minutes for them, and let's see. I think he came on for Papu Gomez, didn't he? I'm looking forward to seeing if those two can be on the pitch at the same time and how they can combine together.
He did not look in the best shape, Isco.
Well, hang on, but I'd been following his Instagram over the summer, and he was posting lots of videos working incredibly hard in his garden, so I don't see how that can be there. maybe that's not the same as actual match fitness. Who knew?
He's only played 37 league games in 4 years. This was his 38th appearance. So, yeah, he's going to need a little bit of time, perhaps, to get up to full match
fitness.
Let's
give him time.
But, yeah, there are rumours of R.D.T. to Sevilla.
He was watching Espanyol from the stands, R.D.T. the other night, not looking particularly happy. He has to go. It has to be resolved before the end of the window. And looking at the players on the market, I think he's probably the best that Sevilla can do. And I think I don't mean that in a negative way. I just think he'd be the right man, and you would back him to come in and score some of the goals that they might lack otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think we should write Sevilla off quite yet for fourth spot.
No.
I mean, they do still have some excellent players, and if they can start scoring some goals, then it's a big if. But if they can start scoring some goals, they seem to have other facets of their play. They do just seem a little bit predictable. I think that's the problem with Julian Lopetegui's side, and they're not a very expansive side either. So if plan A doesn't work, there doesn't seem to really be a plan B. But there we go. A quick word on Osasuna as well, who won the first two games of the season for the first time since 1981.
It's a great stat.
It's an incredible stat. It was put to Jagoba Arrasate on the radio that they asked him, Jagoba, do you know when the last time that Osasuna won their first two games of the season? And he said, no idea. I said, 1981. He goes, poor man. I started laughing. But then, rather pragmatically, he said, yeah, but, you know, we've got the asymmetric season now, so you didn't used to have both two first games of the season at home, which we have. So,
oh, let's not spoil it.
Well, but I think that's kind of like emblematic of him. He's sort of quite pragmatic. Yeah. They're all quite down to earth. They're not getting carried away. They're kind of, you know, sort of the earth Navarrese people. Which I quite like Jimmy Avila's post-match comments as well, when he said, you know, we're showing the Navarran or Navarrese DNA now, and the Navarrese DNA is to fight
Navarrese
and battle.
DNA.
I mean, he was born 6,000 miles away from Navarra, so don't know how much Navarrese DNA he has. But I mean, he's sort of
soaked up.
He's soaked it up. He's marinated in Navarrese DNA.
That's the pod title for the week sorted.
There we go. But it's good to see Osasuna doing well, and Chimi Avila the embodiment of that Navarrese DNA, even if he's not necessarily from there. But yeah, winning 2-0 against the Cadiz side, who they're going to do really well not to get relegated. Cadiz.
We said they would struggle. I think we all knew that they would struggle, and they will struggle without question.
All right, before we go, a quick word on the Segunda. Granada and Alaves both have 6 points out of six so far. Alaves beat Mirandés 1-0 on Friday. Granada beat Racing 2-0 on Saturday. Elsewhere, Eibar drew 2-2 with Villarreal B, and Levante drew 0-0 at Zaragoza. And the mighty Real Oviedo beat Leganés 1-0. Sydney sent us a picture of him watching the game on his iPad next to the pool. So he was very happy about that. That's just about it for this week's edition of TSFP. Thanks very much for listening. Normal service, when I say normal service, Sydney, we'll get him back in a couple of weeks. I think he's still on holiday next week, but we'll still hear from him. He'll be involved.
But just think, when he does come back, he'll be tanned, he'll be relaxed, he'll have recharged his batteries, he'll be ready to go.
He's going to go to loads of games this weekend.
Yeah, I know. Nothing will have changed.
Nothing will have changed at all. But we're still podding, so Q&A pod out tomorrow, bonus pod out on Thursday. Come and join us, patreon.com/TSFP. Muchas gracias, amigos. Speak soon. Adios.
Bye-bye.